SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three at the races, our third hour on this day two of symposium, and have an opportunity to catch up with some of the kids, and we'll close out in a little bit with three more students. And right now, delighted that Doug Reed back with us. And of course, Doug, over the years, you heard Doug on the show many, many times in the times that I would have you visit Doug before I started coming, and then you invited me out a few years ago, and it's now become a regular part of the winter. Really kicks off the winter season in a lot of ways, because then I go on to California. But for you, after a long illustrious tenure here running the program, you come back and it continues on. Good to see you as always.
Great to be here. And Steve, it's great to see you here again, because, you know, when you first started coming here, I thought it was a great addition and super to have your program broadcast live from the symposium.
You said something yesterday, because I mentioned that at the luncheon, one of the earlier, I mean, I only know of you as the director, the long time that you ran the program, but virtually the entire history of the program was almost on display yesterday.
It was awesome. We had some photo ops here at the end of the day. We had five coordinator directors here all at once, which is, I think, a first from going back from Gary Amundsen in the 80s to Dave Hooper, myself, Lonnie Powell, and Wendy Davis, of course.
Pretty amazing. And I don't know if I've ever asked how many industry participants, industry players at any in any role are out there, retired or you know, former, others that of course have gone on and some have left the business, but how many industry participants have come through in the 45 years of symposium of Arizona?
Are you talking about students?
Yeah.
It's hundreds. I know it's got to be over 700. I don't know what the count is now, because, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of. But literally, you can't go to a racetrack and not find
no.
an alum. And, you know, it's funny. I had dinner with Steve May, who I'm sure you know, last
of
night,
course.
Who was a grad student. He came here to the program because of you. I mean, your program. And we were talking about that last night. It was funny reminiscing with Steve, and he said, you know, he told me the whole story of how he came again.
It's unbelievable. In the car. Scott Little, too. Scott Little came the same way.
Right.
Heard on the show and said, you know, I want to change my career direction.
Absolutely. And we get, you know, the traditional student and the career changer. It's kind of, I hate to categorize them into two categories, but there's other types. But those are two basic core types, and they both do very well. And it's great to be back here. And, you know, I'm still interacting, you know, at Rito, the little racetrack here where the students work. I go out there and see the students. I see them here at the program. You know, I may be in a position to hire some of them soon. I'm doing a bunch of different projects, and we'll see what happens with some of them. So it'd be fun to be on the other end, too. I'm enjoying the change of life, but I still want to stay in touch here as much as I can.
You mentioned Rito, and I really haven't, in the couple of days so far here, I really have not had a chance to talk at all about Rito, and maybe it's because I haven't seen Mike, right?
Mike Weiss and
Mike
I go
Weiss.
Way back. You know, Mike and I kind of started this when Rito was going to start back up. They came to me and asked me to do it, and I said, there's no way. I got to run a full-time program, you know, but I know the man for it, you know, and Mike's was a racing official in the early days like me, and then ran Beulah Park, and he's a master of all trades and perfect person for it. So Mike's continuing to hire a full complement of students out there every year.
There was some uncertainty. Pima County, they got this they want to basically put a soccer field on every street corner. What's the status of that? Has that been smoothed out?
I don't know if it'll ever change. I'm not as involved with the Rito as I used to be, so I don't know for sure. But it seems like it's an ever-ending battle. it's too bad. But I think the concept Rito has is a good one because they don't want it just to be a racetrack. The farmer's market there is great. I go out to myself. They have a great farmer's market there. They have concerts there. They have different events. And if that's what I think is the true vision of that place. As a racetrack alone, no, it doesn't make sense. But as a multifaceted facility, it's in a prime location in town. You can have stuff there all year, and racing's just one aspect of it.
Yeah, and the season is very short. It's over about 3 weeks or a month, and it provides for the students the unique opportunity to basically run the racing office and run the marketing and do virtually everything that
great experience. Yeah. Pete Aiello was announcing at Rito student, and look what he's doing now, a Gulfstream Park and the Pegasus.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really picturesque little track. The Rito, I haven't had a chance. And because usually I see Mike, and I'm surprised I haven't seen him.
Mike's here. I've seen him.
We've always connected. So well, I'll catch up with him and their season
starts February. I think the end of February.
Yeah, to March. Usually about 3.5 weeks.
They just run like 8 weekends. Not 8 weekends. More well, eight. Anywhere from 6 to 8 weekends. And it's just Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. At Rito Park. And for you, talk a little bit about what's gone on since you stepped down and retired.
I didn't retire, and that's the whole thing. And I'm enjoying, I miss the students, and I knew I would miss that. I don't miss some of the bureaucracy of a major university, but I've been doing a lot of different projects. I've been in the sweet spot, so to speak, as far as working enough but not burying myself. And the variety has been challenging, and I hope to be in a position where I can hire some students here before long. Just this year alone, I was part of the team that we finished up the American Horse Council economic impact study for the entire horse industry.
That's right.
Kind of for the whole country, and that was a big project, fun. I did some work for the Indiana Racing Commission when Caesars was purchasing the 2 racetracks in Indiana that just got completed this past summer. Something I really enjoyed doing, Mike Tanner, he couldn't make it here this week because
Trotter.
He was busy, but did some strategic planning for the USTA, and that's just something I started doing when I got here many, many years ago, doing it first for the program, then for the department, then I did it for a number of other racing entities, and it's just been a fun thing. And right now, I'm involved in 2 projects, only one of which I can talk about, but I'll know tomorrow whether it was successful or not. I've been involved with a group. There's one last racino license in New Mexico, and we're one of the bidders for that. And I think we'll know win or lose tomorrow, actually. We're looking at Clovis, New Mexico, to build a racino, the last racino license that's available in New Mexico. So if we do that, I'll be involved in that project literally from the ground up.
How about that? And is there a... How many parties are seeking
there's 5
license?
5 parties. There's 3 in Clovis. There's 1 in Tucumcari and 1 in Lordsburg. I think we've got a very good chance. I like our application a lot. We're the only one offering a turf course, first turf course in New Mexico if we win.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How big of a facility?
It would be a mile racetrack, of course, with a 7/8 turf course. It would be, you're limited, excuse me, you're limited to 600 machines in New Mexico, so we're looking at a $75 million project.
And thoroughbred and quarter?
Thoroughbred and quarter horse. Race dates to be determined because that's a regulatory issue. We're thinking possibly late spring, early summer. I'd entertain a fall meet, but right now there's Zia Park that runs in the fall, so you really have to work with the other stakeholders, and I understand that. So we're amenable to be a little flexible on our race dates to start. I'd like to start and be very successful and not start too big and then grow from there, because I think that's the right way to go.
That's exciting. Can we say who the entity is that behind the project?
It's a partnership. I actually started working and advising them some back in 2014 when I was still here. The Laguna Pueblo was interested in it. And there was another person named Rob Miller out of Chicago who was interested. Each party had a property, a piece of land, and they ended up, instead of competing, they partnered. So, but I primarily work with the LDC, which is the Laguna Development Corporation. And it's a great group of guys. They run a really good facilities in New Mexico. They are like one of the top operators of Native American tribes. They don't have good locations, and yet they're one of the top revenue generators. You know, they get great customer service. They run great entertainment. I think it's a great marriage. I think because racing is supported, you know, by the slot machines. And, you know, looking forward to the answer tomorrow.
It's exciting, Doug. Is it a commission that...
The Racing Commission makes the decision tomorrow, and then whoever, you know, does get granted that license would have to apply to the Gaming Commission for the other piece of the pie.
Sure. Is there a working name for the track?
Right now it's Curry Downs, which is the county in New Mexico. It's obviously subject to change, but that was our kind of initial Curry Downs Racetrack and Casino initial name. I don't know if we'll change it or not, but...
Curry Downs. All right. Well, and you can't. They're not going to let you. They're not going to let you use CUR. I think the Cura gets that in the
you're
in the
right.
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 The Cura is CUR. So it would have to be maybe CRD.
A couple other things I've been working on are fun, but they're kind of just different things. I've been involved with a group with esports, and we might get a contract with the track to do some things at their facility in the esports arena, which is the competitive video gaming. I think there could be some potential there for some racetracks.
Wow.
That's an interesting one, and I think, you know, competitive video gaming is a game of skill and competitive. What's pari mutuel? You know, and I think, you know, there's some possibilities to do some fun things with that and bring in an entirely different demographic that could be a good demographic. I've also talked to a couple of parties and some interesting, you know, you just had Pat on and talking about innovation. We had that innovators pitch contest the last
year.
You were here. And the winner of that contest is actually launching in Australia, and I'm working with them kind of talking to them about maybe looking at opportunities here in North America and working with them to do that and working with another outfit in Australia that has some innovative stuff. So I love the innovation side of it, too, and looking at, you know, just having my hand in that.
Unbelievable. And you know, it's funny because I cannot remember your origins. We had this discussion 4 years ago, and... You had a wide kind of an interesting resume, you know, even before you got here.
I've been very fortunate, you know, but I had to work from from the ground up, because when I was a kid and didn't know about this program and I, you know, going to school, everybody told me it's who you know and it's family, and I had none of that. So I literally kicked the doors down and started on the maintenance crew at Timonium. I still love Timonium. You know, it's my, you know, everybody likes their first track. Worked in Maryland, wanted to be a racing secretary. That was my first path. I achieved that goal pretty at a young age. Infamy, I was racing secretary. My first job was racing secretary at Arlington Park, 1985, was the year of the fire.
Fire.
So I had a baptism of fire. I always liked to joke. So did that, did Oaklawn Park for a couple of years, Rockingham. Got into management in New Mexico, so there's my New Mexico tie. Was vice president for a company, Santa Fe Racing. They ran out Santa Fe and Albuquerque, and then that brought me. I continued my migration west and ended up here in Arizona.
Well, and I'm getting locked into the and becoming part of the program. Origins?
I got to give Wendy some credit. It was, you know, kind of serendipity too, because I was in management at New Mexico, and she invited me out to do the racing office class because of my past racing secretary experience. So it was a couple years before the job came open. I came out and did the guest lecture, and I loved it. Pete Dreipulcher, who's one of my mentors of many, when I came back, he said, "Boy, I can tell you're really charged. You must have really enjoyed that." And I said, "I did." You know, it was just so next time she invited me a couple years later, and the timing was kind of funny because our company was for sale. And I came and was prepared to teach the class, and Wendy picked me up at the airport and said, oh, by the way, they're making a change in the directorship. I went home to my wife that night and said, you know, I think I'm interested in that job.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, funny timing again. Good luck, you know.
Well, and the program, you mentioned Wendy, the team, Wendy Davis and Denise Ferris and Betty Prewitt and Liz Bracken. And, of course, I knew Liz from NYRA. And they just have continued on in the spirit of the the program and continue to really, do the work that offers an opportunity for I don't want to limit it to young people. That's
right.
Always a mistake, no matter how old you are.
I think I've had students older than me at times.
And that's what's amazing about this. And then, of course, the receptive audience that you've got in the industry for graduates. And now you're out, as you say, you're out going to be out there, and you have the opportunity potentially to bring some students in your direction with any number of these opportunities. And there's Steve May as we speak.
Well, we spoke to him.
Working for
Kentucky.
But
that's a fun part still, even though I'm not with the program, to be connected with so many alum.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to someone last night, and I know they're looking for a job, and I'm going to try to poke the two people up, So I still try to help people. Because I think it all comes back to you.
No doubt. And, Doug, excited, really excited for you and this opportunity with the Laguna Development. And we'll watch for a news release.
And I hope I can tell you about another development we're working on, but at this time I can't.
That's all right.
It might be something that, we'll come back to you on.
All right. There's no matter what's happening, there's this is something I hadn't even heard of, that there was potentially going to be another track in New Mexico, and met some of the people from Revolutionary last night from the Colonial.
Right, that's exciting.
Getting started, and Colonial is going to be, literally brand new. They basically are taking the building, freshening it up, and the track itself, the best turf course in the country, really, that was sitting there waiting.
Well, I just told Pat, who was as we were waiting during the commercial. I said, if I do get involved in operations again, I don't want to do it the same as it's always been done. I'm going to try some things, I can guarantee you. Otherwise, I won't be happy if I'm not trying some experiments and doing some fun things.
Well, the fact that you have been so busy, really, essentially busier probably than ever.
I've been in the sweet spot. I've been busy enough, but not too busy.
Perfect.
It's been, life is good.
Well, Doug Reed, how do people get a hold of you for those that could use your services?
Well, my email from the university is still good because I have emeritus status, big deal.
Nice.
But I'm a lecturer emeritus, and so I can still use my email with the U of A, or I have my own email, dougreed27@gmail.com. And I actually have my own consulting company, RGE LLC, just a little consulting company that I use as my company. So, and everybody knows, it's a small world in racing.
Yes.
We're one person removed from everybody.
That's really true, actually. Twitter, are you Twittering at all?
I do a little. It's Citation27.
That's right.
Yes.
I knew you had a horse name, and
well,
I couldn't remember.
Well, our dog was named Citation, too. So.
I love it. Well, I hope New Mexico offers you a citation tomorrow with the potential for Curry Downs. Doug Reed, thanks as always.
Well, thank you for being back here at the symposium. Always good to see you here.
I wouldn't
And good
be
luck
here.
With your panel. I'll be looking forward to hearing about that.
I think we'll hit some salient points. We actually have had spent a good 90 minutes already on the show discussing those same topics, because obviously for people, they only get dribs and drabs of the reporting, so this is a good opportunity to kind of flesh things out, and that's what this is all about. It's the incubation of ideas potential course for direction for the industry, and it's always provocative and it really energizing to come here. That's a tribute to what you and what all the program coordinators and participants have really developed
here. It's a great way to end the year every year, right before the holidays.
Exactly. Doug Reed, everybody. Let's take a time out. Bottom of the hour, we'll come back and visit with some more students. We'll find out about their backgrounds and what their hopes are and aspirations to participate in the industry, including some young ones. Back after this to the Symposium, University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program at the races here on Sirius XM.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
This is the house that funk builds. Groove Armada style.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Back to University of Arizona, the Racetrack Industry Program's Symposium on Racing, and another trifecta of students, and Abel Zander, Eli Stafford, Taylor Owens, and a nice mix to kind of close out our visit here at University of Arizona. We'll say, first of all, to Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Where are you from?
New York. Born in Long Island.
So you could say Southampton.
Southampton, for
Go
sure,
ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. All right. And she didn't say it's snooty, folks. She's very down to earth. Eli, I felt like I knew you because your dad and I communicate all the time on Twitter. Up, turn that up there. That's my fault. There we go. Try again.
Is it working now?
There you go.
All right. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Excellent. And your dad, when I said that we were coming out for another broadcast week to Symposium, he said, watch for my son, the first year.
Yeah, I saw the tweet, and I was like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, well, there's no getting out of it now.
Exactly. And then I saw it. Right away, I saw your name, and I had to say hello. And you're from South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Nice. And Abel?
Morning, Steve.
Good morning. You're from...
I'm from the
Chicago
area.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the A's.
What How long have you been? You're a couple years in?
Yeah, I have. I'm 2.5 years in with another year to go.
What got you here?
You know, I bounced around a lot in my 20s. I'm the old man of the group here, so. I don't know. I was at a bachelor party. It was 2002, Belmont Day at Arlington Park. And I put some money on Sarava. And I'm a sucker for long shots, so. But my dad, he eventually suggested, hey, maybe you should try Racetrack Industry Program.
How did he know about it?
He's the kind of guy, he likes to do research, so.
Okay.
He just did some digging, found the program. I was actually initially looking at Australia for this type of program.
Interesting.
So it's more of a trade school from the impression I got, but they won't give you a visa without a loan, and you can't get a loan without a visa. So I ended up here.
which is, you know, it seems, from my experience here in Tucson and the Phoenix area, everybody from Chicago comes to Arizona. It's like the retirement for if you worked and lived in Chicago, you end up in Arizona.
I do have a friend who had moved out here about 10 years ago. She's up in Phoenix. So
yeah, my wife and I were in Chandler the first year I came here.
Okay,
and we stayed in Chandler, and they were having their big Christmas thing, and the streets were packed, and there was a parade, and there was all kinds of activity, and virtually everybody I met, everybody we started talking to, like along the parade route. Oh, where are you? They're asking where are you from? Are you vacationing? Oh, where, you know, I'm coming down to Tucson for the symposium, and my wife came for the weekend. And everybody we met was from Chicago. I don't think I met anybody that said, "Oh, we're from Phoenix. We grew up here." No, nobody. I was amazed. Everybody from Chicago.
It's a popular destination, but I think Cubs spring training.
Ooh, that's, Peoria, right?
Yeah.
Mesa, exactly. The Mesa Cubs.
I think
good
that's
job.
Part of the draw.
How about that? How about that?
It's definitely. I would definitely put that as one of the reasons.
That's funny. That makes sense. They come to see him in spring training. They like the area, and it's interesting. What are you studying?
I'm the business side of racing. I also have a second major in Arabic. I was hoping to eventually spend some time in the Emirates.
How about that?
And I did a finance minor.
Nice.
So just trying to diversify the portfolio.
What did you do before you decided to come? Because you're a little older.
You name it, I've probably tried it. I did a lot of web sales. I worked for a ticket broker in my 20s. I've done some retail. I've done service. I did a little time at Second City.
Did you really?
Yeah, I wanted to do. There was a time I was thinking about trying acting. So,
very cool.
Not. It's fun, but not my cup of tea. So
neat. That's very cool. Second, I love it. I love it. Let's talk to Taylor and Eli too, and then we'll circle back. And Eli, for you, you're an undergrad.
What? Yep.
Talk about the origins of your interest.
Well, it was my dad, I think, and back in about sophomore, junior year of high school, I was still floating around the idea of being maybe a vet. But then I started looking at all the things you had to do in college, and 8 years, a lot of math. The math kind of got me out of that. And my dad, I think he heard about it through your podcast, actually. So shout out to you.
There you go. I love it.
And he told me about it over dinner one night, and so it piqued my interest because I was like, oh, he says Bob Baffer went to this program, and I was like, well, that's interesting. And so after that night, we did a couple more days of research and talked about it a bit more. And ever since then, it's always been where I wanted to go. And
it's great.
Nowhere else.
I love it. I love it. What's your direction? Did you come here with a decision of where you were headed, or are you letting it kind of take you where it goes?
Well, kind of both, a little of both. back when I first applied, I was thinking about maybe being a trainer, because back then, well, still now, Bob Baffert's my idol, so just like my dad. And but now more, I'm thinking maybe not so much a trainer. It's a tough job.
Yeah, not easy.
Gotta respect them. But I'm not too sure, you know. Maybe a job in the bloodstock industry.
Absolutely.
That interests me.
Nice. Nice. We had the conversation yesterday with Jacob, Jacob Shepherd, and he's got that, you know, that's where he's headed. And it's funny because I had not, in all the other conversations I've had with students and the students I've met, it's almost all been either right on the equine element or on the business side. And I don't think I had met anybody from that was bloodstock directed, and,
right.
And here's the 2 days, two different, you know, two different people interested on that side. What's been the you know, the most enjoyable part of coming here
to a symposium or the university?
Both. I mean, to putting this together and you know, being part of it, and then just being at Arizona.
Oh well, Arizona is a lot warmer than South Carolina. It's nice not having the humidity. I love it out here, and although I'm looking forward to going back for spring or Christmas break, not spring break. And well, the symposium's nice. It's been great getting to meet different people in the industry and maybe make a few connections, get to meet with people that have been helping me in the program. And the university is nice.
Oh, it's
classes. Yeah. Classes, but math's tough sometimes, but I'm always going to have problems.
The math is clearly the issue with you.
Yes.
Who's your mentor lunch with?
I don't actually have a mentor lunch. I'm meeting with Dana Parham.
Okay.
Outside of a mentor.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Well, then you'll become a horse player then instead.
Right.
You can write your own ticket meeting with Dana. That's great. That's tremendous. Taylor, for you, where did your interest get peaked?
Well, it all started when I was 8 years old. My uncle, he had a few racehorses that were running out at Prairie Meadows. And being in a military family, we bounced around a lot. It was very hard for me to follow the sport when I was a child. But going to the track at a young age, watching my uncle's horses run, that definitely piqued my interest. I caught the bug at an early age. And it's since then, yeah, it's just carried. It's something I've carried with me the rest of my life so far. And I learned about the program. I was 12 years old. My dad had found an advertisement about it online, and he told me, hey, there's a racetrack industry program at the University of Arizona. And I was like, okay, racetrack's in the name. I'll be there. So here I am.
Did you, at that time, when you talk about the Prairie Meadows, were you living in Altoona? Were you in that part of the country?
At that point, my dad was stationed in Dubuque, Iowa,
okay.
Right off the Mississippi River. So we would have to, you know, drive in, we'd visit family. And then we make the trip up to Prairie Meadows.
Nice. Nice. And then how did you end up in New York?
I was born there.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, my family was military. So this is the eighth state that I've been in.
Holy cow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then for you, for a discipline or for an area of the industry that you feel kind of directing you?
Oh, I made that decision when I was 8 years old. Again, a training route for sure.
Oh, wow.
But since I've come to the university, it's really opened my eyes to the perspective the general public has on the industry. So I want to hopefully work with, you know, being a trainer, but hopefully being able to, you know, introduce more of the public to the sport, bring in more casual fans. I think that the industry is looked at with a negative light at times. So if there's something I can do, you know, to, yeah, make it in better light for people.
Have you done, how much hands-on with horses have you been involved in growing up?
Nothing too in-depth with the racing side. I spent part of the summer with my uncle's trainer there at Prairie Meadows and just mucking stalls, brushing down, hot walking. So not a whole lot with the racing side. More of the western side.
Well, unbelievable. Are you set for looking ahead to an internship or, you know, to a summer job?
I am open to internship opportunities over the summer. I don't have anything set in stone, still talking to people. I might want to spend a summer here in Tucson and finish a journalism minor. So that's on the table.
Well, and that the course could open doors for other, you know, for any number of options. What has been, you know, what has been surprising to you? What portion of the program and you know, coming here and you know, the size? I mean, obviously you guys are on campus and you have classes, but you're intermingling with, you know, with an enormous state university.
Oh, yeah, I think the campus has a population of almost 40,000 students.
Yeah.
And the program, I think we maybe maxed out at 30. And it really kind of goes to show, I mean, this industry is broad. There's a lot of people in it, but everyone knows everybody. And I'm learning that, you know, here at Symposium, you know, everyone can just walk up and introduce themselves and like, yeah, I already know you from, you know, I met you like last summer here at this meet. It's really fantastic. It's a great group. I really enjoy the program right now. It's presenting a lot of opportunities for me.
What, any classes that you have found more interesting that surprised you, a portion of the industry that you're being exposed to that you didn't expect to like and are at least at the very least engaged?
We have what's called a bloodstock committee right now. It's new this year, and so as students, we get to work with a bloodstock agent. We got to pick out a few mares from the Keeneland November sale, and so we got to look at what does a bloodstock look for when they're at the sales. How do they decide where to breed out the mare and you know the stallion? So we get to look at that whole selection process on the bloodstock side, and that's all completely new to me.
Cool, and that kind of caught your interest a little.
Yeah, of course.
Excellent. And Eli, for you too, that...
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was, as soon as I heard about that, it was like, I've got to be a part of it.
Nice. What are you, have you got something in mind for the summer?
I'm kind of in between right now. I'm thinking about, it's either, I've got a way where I could get an internship with Three Chimneys Farm, maybe for the summer.
Nice.
But it's either that or some of my friends are going in and out and going on missions for their church. So I'd like to maybe see them off as well or see them come back. But it's either that or maybe I'll go to Three Chimneys and come down for a couple of days and see them. But I'd like to do the Three Chimneys.
Oh, that'd be
sure.
terrific experience. And, of course, with the South American tie, Tori Ablett, that'd be... Yeah, that would be a very good experience. How about and of course you mentioned this bloodstock program. What has been an aspect of the industry that you didn't know existed, that
of the bloodstock industry?
Beyond that, I mean, just some part of you know, one of the things that I could think back to other times I've asked this question, and the racing office project. Some people, you know, never even gave that a thought about what goes into the, you know, the writing of a condition book and the way a racing office runs. And yet, you know, it's funny because I see so many RTIP grads in racing offices, and in particular in New York, and it feels like an area that people end up surprised. They show up here, and then all of a sudden, I mean, they never really thought about the racing office, and they get, you know, they get fascinated by, you know, the way in which the show gets put on, essentially.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's an interesting kind of thing. I'd never really thought about it.
Yeah,
as
that
a career,
I hear that a lot.
Sure. But as I've come here, I've learned, like everyone else, that racing offices are a big part of why people come to this program, and it's interesting to learn about that.
Yeah, from one of the things that I get to do that I absolutely enjoy is just watching races get drawn. Even I mean, I'll just hang around the racing office. I mean, there's a lot of fun things that happen in the office. Not the least of which is the claim box and what happens when horses are getting claimed and the somewhat amusing side games. You know, the trainers will bet. They'll each put up $100, and you know, whoever gets the horse gets the cash too. And there's all kinds of antics that are going on around the racing office like that. That it's a jovial place, and you know, when they're putting the races together, and you just to watch all the activity and hustling of races and watch guys on the phone and they're, you know, trying to fill spots out and calling trainers and cajoling them and, you know, into a spot. And the way it all comes together, it's amazing, actually. And it's also amorphic. It's ever changing. I mean, they've got a set of races in the condition book. Then there's the supplements, and then there's the extras. And the whole time in the morning, as they're taking entries, the thing is changing and morphing, and the way that everybody has to interact. I mean, it's an aspect that, you know, it doesn't get a lot of attention, but it's really engaging. I'll wild away a few mornings and afternoons hanging around racing offices. It's, you know, Saratoga, it's right in the middle of everything, and in particular, and, you know, breezing in and out of there, you see everybody that you know, some trainers are watching, you know, races and so forth. You know what I got to ask? Do you bet? Are you much of a better? Do you play much?
Not successfully.
All right.
I'll say that.
All right, but you like to put a bet down. Do you bet, Taylor?
I do enjoy betting. Not, like I said, I will agree exactly with what Eli said. Not very good at it. So any handicapping tips, I am all ears.
I love it. Abel?
I'm actually an awful handicapper, but my mom, she loves to go to the track and cash winners. She just does show bets. So I usually do pretty well for her. She had a very successful Mother's Day this year using my picks. So
well done.
But I can't cash winners at all.
That's funny. Do you guys, you know, it hasn't occurred to me. Do you guys as a group, do you get together on big race days, Breeders' Cup?
Yes.
Saturday and Sunday, and
we did
Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, Taylor and I and another student, Alex, got together for a Breeders' Cup this year just to watch the races. Once again, had a lot of losers, but it's fun to watch. It doesn't matter if you're cashing a ticket or not. So,
who are you? You have a mentor today? You got?
I do. I'm meeting with Paul Reinveld. Century Downs, Century
okay.
Mile.
Okay.
So, just trying to get a feel for the international. Last year, I met with David Hazlett. So, it should be interesting.
No, the century's brand new, right? It's
right. I believe the mile is scheduled to open April 1st next year. So, I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about everything that goes into getting the track up and running. So,
do you have? Are you firmed up with what you're? What do you think you're headed for? I mean,
not really. I feel like the more I learn here, the cloudier it gets.
That's interesting.
I actually, this summer, it's not set in stone, but I'm planning on heading over to the KRA for an internship.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
With the RTIP, they do the executive and residence program. So I've talked to a few of the KRA executives that have come over.
Very cool.
And they seemed excited about the prospect of having me come. So,
oh, that would be a tremendous experience. And the, you know, the Korean, there's real momentum involving Korea, and I've talked about it a little bit with Todd Pletcher and with an RTIP grad, and as well with Ben Colebrook, who's training for the KRA.
Okay.
And you know, there's more dirt racing in Korea than anywhere else in Australasia, and you know, they've been buying bloodstock, you know, they've been buying horses, American horses, you know, for years as they build up. But Korea's on the come.
Right. So I don't know a whole lot, but I apparently they said English is not, or not English, Korean's not necessary. So I was thinking I might have to spend the spring learning Korean.
A little Korean?
I'm sure it would be helpful.
Worba. That's that little bun with the meat tucked inside.
Okay.
A worba. That should get you by. You'll be able to eat.
I'll take what I can get.
That's all I know either. Yeah. Well, you know, I there's been an American presence there for a good, you know, 70 years. So I think yeah, the English you'll probably yeah. do all right.
Let's hope so.
I'd love that. That there, Tom Cassidy. It's so much fun to come here, and you know, with every trip, the opportunity to meet more, you know, more students that are headed into the industry, and this program has got such a wonderful reputation industry wide for a good reason. So many grads that came through here, and so you know, you're following in on a great path, and you know, the industry eager to welcome you guys. Always excited for no matter what, you know, matter what direction you head, there'll be some exciting and fun future.
Yeah, everyone that I've had the pleasure of meeting with here at Symposium, they're all very open, loving. Pardon me. very, very welcoming. Happy to answer any questions and very approachable.
Oh, absolute. I mean, that's one of the industry's great assets, is that that includes, you know, that includes the stars. I mean, whether it's jocks, trainers, you know, owners. I mean, I've said a number of times that we don't even take full advantage of it. How approachable, you know, the big stars of the game are, and then when it comes to the back end, the working end, you know, that we're always, everybody's always looking and always eager to, you know, to give a leg up to, you know, the industry stars of tomorrow. That's what you guys all are. So best of luck.
Thanks, Steve.
Not at all. Delighted to meet, and we will head into our seminar about an hour. We got our presentation, and we'll come to you tomorrow from Santa Anita, from Clocker's Corner, and we'll start to look forward to the Los Al Futurity and the Starlet on Saturday at the weekend is ahead. And I want to thank Taylor Owens and Eli Stafford, as well as Abel Zander, for visiting this morning. And of course, we had a visit from Doug Reed, had Pat Cummings and Chris Larmy, and Pat and Chris will join me in a little bit for our segment. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM, and I'll talk to you from Santa Anita. We want to thank Wendy Davis, of course, and Liz Bracken and Denise Ferris and Betty Prewitt, the team that runs the program, and fun to come to Tucson again this year, and it's one of the real bright stars in the industry. Talk to you tomorrow from Santa Anita. Thanks, everybody.
Feeling 49, like sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people. 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. We were the ones at the docks, helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.